Death is complex and sad, but it can also be beautiful. And sometimes it helps to see what we're talking about. We're excited to be collaborating with FLAC Photo, Photography Online, to present a series of slideshows featuring work by four contemporary photographers. The first in the series is Phil Toledano, who took care of his father at the end of his life. He published a book of photographs about that time called Days with My Father. Phil has gotten hundreds and thousands of letters and emails about this project, many of them from teenagers.
Days with My Father is not really a book about death. It's a love letter from me to my father, and it's a book about our last few years together. But it's also a book about love, and I think that that's what they saw in it, because so many of them wrote to me and said, this has made me think about my parents more, this has made me think about my grandparents more, and how I should value them while they're here. And that was a real surprise and, frankly, a real privilege for me.
Your dad was 96 years old when your mom died and you took on his care. And he had short-term memory problems. What was the photographic process like between the two of you? Did he enjoy it?
Well, it's interesting because he was an actor in the late 20s and early 30s.
Oh, yeah, he'd been on film, right?
Yeah, he was in movies and he was on Broadway, had a pretty good career on Broadway. And so he understood how to be in front of the camera.
Maybe he loved it then. Maybe this was really fun.
Well, two things. I think he liked the idea of being in front of the camera. And he liked the idea of what I was doing. And when he'd say to me, what are you doing? And I'd say, well, I'm doing this. I'm taking photographs of our life together. And he'd say, oh, I like that. And then he'd say, let me see the pictures. And I'd show them to him on the iPhone. And then he would look at them and go, these are terrible. Which is hilarious. But it occurred to me the reason he thought in part they were terrible, well, a couple of things. One is because he was very used to an idea of formality in photography, the idea of a shot where he looked beautiful and handsome, and the idea of being 96 or 97 and looking frail was surprising and unappealing in some ways to him.
Didn't you say your father was kind of vain? He wanted to look his best.
Well, he was always meticulous in how he dressed. You know, it was old-fashioned style from the 30s or 40s. And he was a very, very handsome man when he was younger. And I think that left a mark so that he always felt that he wanted to look good. There was one time I was trying to get him out the door to the doctor's, and he was in his wheelchair. And there was a mirror on the way to the elevator. And I remember going past the elevator going, thinking to myself, please don't look in the mirror, please don't look in the mirror. And he looks in the mirror and goes, wait a minute, because my father was American. He said, wait a minute, we've got to go back inside. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, I've got to dye my hair with a black pencil. And I said, what are you talking about? And I said, what do you think? You think there's like a flock of eager young ladies outside anticipating your entrance, your departure. And he didn't think that was funny. But I couldn't get him out to the doctor. So, but that's part of the thing is I think that my feeling about the reason why people had the reaction they did to the work is because a lot of the work I've seen is so unremittingly sad about that particular stage of life. And I think that I just happened to be lucky in the way my father and I lived those last few years together. There's, of course, sadness in there, but there's also everything else that makes up life, which is beauty and strangeness and humor and, you know, heartbreak and all the rest of it.
How did your relationship change as he became more dependent on you? At a certain point, it must have started to feel like you were the parent and he was the child.
Oh, of course. Yeah, very much so. And often he was a recalcitrant, petulant child. That was the easy thing for me to rationalize or to justify because it occurred to me very early on that they'd had the decency to take care of me when I couldn't take care of myself. So the least I could do is return the favor. And then, of course, there was food. I mean, basically, towards the end, he really kind of only ate eggs. And I remember having a very funny conversation with the doctor. Went to the doctor and I said, I'm kind of concerned about his cholesterol levels because he eats raw eggs with orange juice, egg drop soup, omelets. That's all he eats. And the doctor said, listen, he's 97 or 98. I don't think his cholesterol levels really matter at this point. And I went, oh, yeah, that's an excellent point, doctor.
Well, that's one of the most heartbreaking photos for me is that picture of your father. He's upset about eating. I think he's crying.
Boy, he was mad. He didn't like it. And then I got mad because I'd made this dinner for him. I just remember wasting so much food at the beginning because I was always trying to make stuff that my mother had made for him. And of course, it was my disastrous cook, so it was not very good. And, you know, I'd make this big meal and he'd go, this is no good. But it was the unvarnished truth. And there was no sort of taking into account that I'd tried to make a meal for him. So eventually, I remembered that he liked egg drop soup from the Chinese restaurant around the corner. But the trick was that I had to say that I'd made it. So his chair was kind of facing the door.
So you'd have to sneak the egg drop soup in.
Well, yeah, the delivery guy would show up and then my dad would go, who is that? And I go, oh, it's just someone from the building checking. And then I have to sort of hide the egg drop soup under my sweater and get it into this kitchen. Then I pour it out and bring it out to him. And then he'd look at me and go, is this homemade? And I go, yeah, I just made it.
Well, you started putting some of these photos up online when your dad was still alive, right?
Yeah.
Once you started getting feedback from other people, the project itself must have changed and the way you thought about it must have begun to change.
I started posting, I guess, when I was really almost done with the whole thing. And people ask me why I put it up on the web. And I think in some ways, I'm an only child and I think that it was a very solitary experience for me. And I think it was sort of a form of, and this is going to sound peculiar, but a form of exorcism. It was a way of, it was such a thing for me to carry on my own that I just wanted to, get it outside of myself. And when I travel to give talks about my work to places, I go to Finland or England or France or wherever, people would say, how's your dad? And I thought that was really beautiful. Look, I think that I'm an artist and most of the art I do is pretty useless. And I think that goes for most art in some regard. But I accidentally did something that was useful. So if I shuffle off tomorrow, I've done one good thing, and I'm happy about that.
My theory about part of why it struck such a nerve, I mean, for all the reasons that we talked about and because the photographs are so beautiful and so filled with love, but also because the photographs you took make living with your dad at the end of his life look not so bad. It also doesn't look so terrible to be your dad either.
Well, it's hard to say, actually. I remember my father would often talk about wanting to go because other than me, there wasn't anything for him. So I don't know. I mean, I'm a real fan, and this is going to sound weird, but I think that euthanasia or whatever it's called I think that's something that we should be talking about because I know that my dad didn't want to be here anymore. And it's quite a hard thing for me to say because when he'd say he wanted to go, it would so heartbreaking for me because the voice inside me would say, but don't you want to be with your son?
Yeah.
Sorry, I get very emotional when I think about that. But at the same time, I used to have this peculiar idea about, you know, suffocating him in his sleep because it would be the thing he'd wanted. You know, because he didn't want to be around really anymore without my mom. But then again, of course, that just seemed crazy as a son to be thinking that.
Well, that's how complicated and huge those emotions get, you know?
Right.
There's a documentary film you did called A Shadow Remains. Is that part of what you're talking about? What is the shadow?
Well, I think that when your parents die, the shadow they cast remains within you, and you see that shadow for the very first time after they're gone, and you understand what they've left you. You understand the things, the gifts they gave you. And it takes a few years to understand those things, but I'm so eternally grateful for what they've given me. I feel so lucky.
If you want to see Phil Toledano's photos of his dad, visit Days with My Father in our photo gallery at ttbook.org/death.